I always tell people, I think I'm ready for our worship services by about Sunday night. By Sunday night, I'm ready for our worship team to get back out and to lead in worship. I'm not ready for my message at all, but I'm ready for worship. I'm always excited to get back. It's a weird thing because, part of my job right now as the interim pastor is to give the messages. I'm excited to do that. I love doing that. I hope, you guys actually enjoy it as well. But I really love worship. And so I get always a little bit sad when it comes time for me to do my part because I'm like, it means they're done. But I also am the guy who are just like, well, if I get done, they get to come back up, which is also exciting for me. So don't take that the wrong way. Don't take it as I don't love what I do because I do, and I love our church. But I'm very partial to corporate worship. Which leads us to our last well. Today we are going to conclude our series in wells. I hope that the Lord has used it like he's used it in my own life to really kind of challenge and encourage me to grow in some areas spiritually. I hope it's been a blessing to you. And we're closing out our series in well. We're going to talk about the well of worship today. The well of worship today. So if you want to turn to Acts 16, Acts 16 is where we're going to dive in today. Acts 16, starting in verse 22, it says this: "The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods." Man, what a way to start off a service. I heard a hallelujah in the back. No, please don't do that. Okay, and then after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he had received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. So before we kind of just breeze past this because we're just reading the Bible, let's slow down, because this context sets up the whole rest of the scripture. Paul and Silas, so you may, if you've been around church for just a little bit, you know Paul is one of the main authors that God used to bring about the New Testament. He's one of the major figures of our faith in the New Testament, and him and Silas are now arrested. And they're stripped and they're beaten with rods. And if that's not enough, they're severely flogged. And if you remember, in our Leave No Doubt series, we covered what flogging was. It's where they take a whip, and at the end of the whip, because whipping apparently wasn't harsh enough, they would tie like metal or bone or iron to the end to mutilate the flesh even more. So I don't know why the author had to say severely flogged, because flogging sounds severe enough. I can't imagine the shape these men were in. And then, if that's not enough, what's left of them, they throw in the inner cell and then put their feet in stocks. Like, these men are going to be capable of getting away at this point. They've gone through a physical beating this day. And that sets the context, the understanding. We've got to put ourselves in our shoes, because too many times it's easy to read the Word of God and we don't connect with it. We just read it like it's a history book, but it happened to Paul. It happened to Silas. They're real people just like you and I. And then verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here. We are all here." And the reason that context is so important is because I think if you're anything like me, the temptation is you go, when you read verse 25 and it says Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God at midnight after all they'd been through, if you're anything like me, the temptation is goes, well, yeah, that's Paul, that's Silas, but I can't be like them. That kind of experience where I could still worship and pray after everything I've been through, that can't be me. That's Paul, he's better than all of us. That's Silas, they're more Christian than me. And we distance ourselves from what we could have spiritually. That's my temptation. I don't know if you strip me, even though we give the people what they want, and beat me with rods, severely flog me, that I would have the capacity to still worship, to still pray. But here they are, and I think the temptation is we distance ourselves from that, and we think that can't be real in my life. because it's been a difficult day. They've been flogged, severely beaten, stripped, thrown in the inner cell, put in stocks, and we find them worshiping and praying. And the first question it begs of us is freedom found in our circumstances or the one who we worship? Is freedom found in our circumstances or the one that we worship? Because right now they're physically in prison. Physically in prison. They're physically been beaten. They're physically going through a day where everything has been taken from them. But they have the capacity to worship. And so then I began thinking, what is it that is instilled in someone like Paul or Silas where they can go through that and have the capacity to pray? How can they have the capacity to worship? And I think it's because they had wells. They had wells in their soul that couldn't be touched physically. They had a well of prayer that was deep in their soul that even after being stripped, beaten, and flogged, you couldn't touch that well in their soul. Even after being stripped and beaten and flogged, you couldn't touch the well of worship in their soul. And those wells had been dug before the circumstances happened. And I think that's one of the things we struggle with is sometimes our tendency as Christians, when we start to have things go okay, we can take our foot off the gas a little spiritually, right? We start to get into a comfort level. We start to feel like we need God a little bit less. But those seasons where, quote, everything's going pretty well are the seasons we should always be digging. Because there may come a time where we need a deep well to draw on. And see, it tells us they were praying and worshiping. This verse, verse 25, reveals to us that the well of worship and the well of prayer are deeply connected. They're deeply connected. See, last week we learned that the well of prayer and living water are deeply connected. This week, the well of prayer and the well of worship are deeply connected. And you start to go, well, no, hang on. It sounds like they're all starting to be connected. And that's right. That's right. Get you a gold star here. Check that one off. You have stuck with us through a series called Wells, and we've now begun to discover that all these wells seem to be connected. It's hard to operate in one without having a deep well in the other. All these wells are connected. It's why it's so important that you dig your wells in the right place. You remember the first week, if you were here, if not, you're more than welcome to go back and watch it, but we talked about how our wells need to be dug in the right place spiritually. Because if they're not dug in the right place spiritually, every time we go down to draw from those wells, it's not the best that God has for us. It's not the best that God has for us. If you dig your wells where you've settled for less spiritually, every time you need the well of worship, every time you need the well of prayer, the well of fasting, all these wells, if you go to them in your hardest times, but you've dug them somewhere less than what God has for you, you're not going to be able to draw what you need in that hard season. But see, we can deduce that if the well of prayer and the well of worship are connected deeply, what did we learn last week? We learned last week that Hebrews 4 tells us this radical idea spiritually that if we've given our life to Jesus Christ, that he can lead us from the outside the city walls of the kingdom of heaven, and he can lead us up to the palace and throw open the doors to the throne room, and that he gives us access to God, the King of Kings. Jesus gives us that access, and he tells us you can pray, and not only can you pray, you should pray with boldness and courage in the throne room, anywhere, anytime. And if the well of prayer and worship are deeply connected, where can we worship? In the throne room, anytime, anywhere. You see, if you ask Paul and Silas where they were worshiping, they may say, physically, yeah, physically we were in an inner cell. Physically we'd been flogged. Physically we'd been beaten. But spiritually, we may have been in the inner cell physically, but spiritually we were worshiping in the throne room because Jesus gave us access. That is incredible. That is available to you and I. It's not because Paul and Silas were better than us or more spiritual than us or had a deeper connection with Jesus that we can't have. It's available, according to Hebrews 4, to each and every one of us. But do we take advantage of that access? Do we have the capacity to dig wells in our life, even when things may be going well, so that when we go through the most difficult seasons of life, we can go down to a well of worship or prayer that we believe we've dug deep enough because we have the trust and relationship to Jesus to worship or pray in the throne room anytime, anywhere? You see, there's many times where you and I are tempted to come into a worship service and we worship through the lens of our physical. Our worship doesn't look like Paul and Silas in that inner cell. Why? Because we worship like we're in the inner cell. We worship like our circumstances tell us to. And that's why it's so important to know the scripture. That's why it's so important to be able to see spiritually. Because if Paul and Silas can worship in the throne room, even while in an inner cell, you and I can worship in the throne room, whether we're driving in our car, whether we're at work, whether we're at the doctor's office and getting a bit of news that we don't like. We can worship in the throne room. You see, Paul and Silas would tell you that, yes, our physical circumstances have changed. As they were in that inner cell, and they've been beaten and flogged, they would tell you, of course, we're aware of the physical pain we're in. But they would also tell you, everything we've gone through today hasn't changed one ounce of truth about who Jesus is. They were able to say, spiritually. They would tell you nothing has changed about Jesus. His capacity, his worthiness to be worshipped today, at the end of this day where we were beaten and flogged, who Jesus is, his character hasn't changed. He's still worthy to be worshipped just like he was 24 hours ago before all this happened. That's incredible. But that's how you see spiritually. That's how you can have the ability and capacity to dig down in the well of worship and worship the Lord amongst difficult circumstances. Look at verse 29. Look at verse 29. The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This man who moments ago had picked up a sword to kill himself is now going, "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and his whole household were baptized. Come on. Is that not amazing? It's like 3:00 in the morning, and they're out baptizing people because they've gone, the jailer and his family went physically, spiritually, from death to life. The jailer brought them into his household and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. How is he filled with joy? Because now he's a believer of Jesus. Holy Spirit's been deposited inside of him, right? That's where joy and peace come from, is they're fruits of the Spirit. You're immediately seeing, Holy Spirit, this man is a different man. Why? Because he has a relationship with Jesus. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." And the jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." In the context of these verses, I want us to understand that their worship changed the atmosphere. What were they doing at midnight? Well, they were probably still bleeding, hurting, painful. They were praying and worshiping. Then what happens? An earthquake takes place. Their chains are broken. Things start changing in their physical. Why? Because they believe in the spiritual. And not only that, a jailer comes running out. He goes to kill himself, and Paul cries out, "Don't harm yourself. We're still here." And after they've worshiped and prayed, what ends up happening is a jailer and his family go from death to life spiritually because of an atmosphere that was created by Paul and Silas being able to access the throne room wherever they were at. Their worship, their prayer, their ability to draw from the well of prayer and worship created a space for God to move. It created a space for God to move. It's why when we play videos or say things at Vertical Church like our expectation determines our engagement and our engagement dictates our encounters, it's not a nice saying that starts with a lot of words with the letter E. It's we have a belief in our core that as we gather together as a group of people, it definitely matters if we all believe we're going to meet with the Lord or not. Have we come in with an ability to worship like Paul and Silas in an inner room because each and every one of us walks in or joins online and we believe that our worship is going to create space for maybe somebody like the jailer? Somebody who walks in today and you relate that you feel like you don't have hope. You feel like your life is over. But you've walked into a building today and there's some people worshiping and you're puzzled by it. Because it's creating space for God to move. So what is the expectation you walked in with the building, into the building today with? When you joined online, when you tuned in today, was it to just hear some songs, to sing some songs, to maybe hopefully hear this crazy dude with the weird receding hairline talk passionately about the Bible? Or did you come with an expectation that God can move? That God can move, because if we come in worshiping like we believe God's going to meet with us today, that changes how we engage. You and I aren't worried at 11:30 about where is lunch going to happen today. We're worried about, is God moving right now? It's why you can come in and watch on a building and you look over 10 feet away and there's someone and they're meeting with God and you're just having some rumbles in the tummy there and you're worried, is the Mexican restaurant going to have chips right in front of me as soon as I get in? Come on, like we ain't ever been there. I've been there many times, okay? Why? It's not because the space is necessarily different, but the expectation was. The expectation was different. And you see, we're never in a spiritual prison. We're never in a spiritual prison when we have wells of living water and the bread of life in our soul. That's why these wells are so important. It's not a nice series to do. It's not some nice encouraging. If we get these wells right, if you and I get these wells right in our life, it's going to change things for people we meet. Because you could take us and throw us in an inner prison, in an inner cell. You could take that, but you could never touch our wells in our soul. And not only that, it will create space for people like the jailer. Here, would you like living water? I may be physically covered in scars and been beaten, but I can still offer living water from my soul that you can't touch. You can't touch. The men were physically in a prison, but spiritually they weren't. Why? Because they had wells that ran deep. You see, the reason I love worship so much is worship is how you can remove yourself from the physical to encounter the spiritual. Worship is how you can remove yourself from the physical to encounter the spiritual. It's where you can go from driving in the car and stuck in traffic because it's getting worse in North Georgia because it's October and we got lots of people who go, I'm obsessed with leaves that are red. I like sweet syrup and festivals and things, and I don't care if they're canceled. I'm driving up to North Georgia. You can't take that from me. God bless if you're here. We love you. See people like shimmying out the back like, oh, dear. They saw our tags when we pulled in. Honey, they're going to slash our tires, I think. No, we love you, and we're glad you're here. But it's why if we're driving in the car or at work or wherever we're at, we have the capacity to encounter the Lord. Why? Because we can worship wherever we're at. It's why if you see me driving throughout, I may have the volume up so I can't hear myself. Hearing myself sing is not pleasant. But I'll turn the volume up and I can worship. Why? Because it doesn't matter if I'm here on Sunday morning or if I'm in my car on a Wednesday, I can worship. Why? Because of Jesus, I have access. I have access. Not because I earned it or deserve it. It's because Jesus threw open the doors to the throne room and said, come in. You have access to the Lord. That's something that you and I are capable of. So what is our expectation on a Wednesday? Do we expect that we can worship and meet with the Lord on a Wednesday? On a Thursday night, after a long day, do we have an expectation that we can worship the Lord and meet with Him in our house when we close the door and turn on worship music? Do we have that expectation anymore? Maybe you're like me. You go, well, how do I worship? How do I worship outside of a Sunday? How do I worship outside of a Sunday, Philip? How do I go from craving Sunday morning because our worship team's so powerful and they do an amazing job? How do I have that encounter with the Lord on a Thursday night because I found that it's not very true in my life right now? How do I worship the Lord outside of Sunday? How do I worship the Lord in my car? How do I worship the Lord in my room? How do I worship the Lord at work? How does that happen? And I think it's the question of where have we dug our wells? Where have we dug our wells? Where are you at spiritually right now? Have you dug your wells in a place where it doesn't matter what you've gone through, but there's something in your soul that helps you connect with the Lord? On Facebook, we leave up our messages. You can, on a Thursday, go tune into our message, our series, and watch it again. You can worship with our team again on a Thursday night. It's still there. You can do what I do. I make playlists on YouTube or Spotify, and I just play those songs, and I worship the Lord. I turn it on loud enough so I can't hear myself. That's why I stand right in front of the speaker. Chaboy cannot hear himself in front of the speaker. It's a beautiful thing. But I can worship right there like I can on a Thursday night. Because according to Jesus, I have access. According to Jesus, you have access. You have access if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Turn on the worship music. Turn on our worship team and their service again. And slow down enough to focus. There was a time in my life where I had to lean so deeply on the well of worship. I've talked about some of my health struggles I went through a couple years ago, and as I first started going through them, I had constant abdominal pain and discomfort, and it wouldn't go away, and so I started trying to see doctors, and they couldn't really give me an answer, and I don't know if anyone can relate, but when you're sitting in a doctor's office and you're in pain, it doesn't help much when they tell you, I'm unsure, or they don't seem overly concerned. Doctor, I wouldn't be here. I don't normally in my hobby free time like to come to the doctor's office, okay? If I'm here, something's not correct. Something's not working properly. And so they thought maybe it was kidney stones, maybe it was a gallbladder issue. They start going down a list. I start having things like endoscopies. And if I'm honest with you, the further you go in a process and you're not getting an answer as to why something's not right, anxiety can build. Anxiety can build. I started to feel each and every day like anxiety was starting to cave in on me. I started to feel more and more trapped, more and more overcome. I've got a personality type where I can spiral. Anybody else a spiraler out there? I can spiral. If you don't spiral, this is the best way I can describe it to you. It's like your mind has like two different sides. One of them's a pilot, and he's reasonable. He's the one you want flying the plane. He's like, okay, everyone on the plane, we're going to experience some turbulence. We're going to be okay, though. We're going to experience some turbulence. And the other side of the pilot, the co-pilot, this is the side of Philip that's irrational. It's worst-case scenario. He's the pilot that hears we're going to have some turbulence, and he goes, we got to crash the plane right now. And if you're the other pilot, no, sir, don't do that. Don't do it. And the other pilot's like, oh, we're going down. You know, and immediately plane crashes. That's what it's like to spiral. You immediately go worst case scenario. That was me. Just crashed the plane. My wife could tell you, she comes home. I've been on Google for 3 hours trying to figure out what it is. She's like, have you been Googling your symptoms? Maybe. What gave it away? Well, you look like you're a psycho at this point. Oh, fantastic. But this anxiety began to build over and over. It was like compounding this weight. And I began to get to the point where I was exhausted and tired. I was physically exhausted, emotionally tired, mentally tired, spiritually. I was every kind of tired. I was exhausted because this anxiety in my life was just building upon me. And I'd gotten to the point where I was laying on the living room floor one night, and I had a couple songs I would just worship to, and I was laying on the ground, and I was just, honestly, I was just in tears. I was just exhausted, and I felt like I had nothing left I could pray. I felt like I had prayed every prayer I knew how to. I felt like I had used every word I knew to express to God, and I had no words left to pray. I had no words left to pray. And I was just exhausted, and the only thing I had left was to worship. I remember turning on specifically three different songs. One of them was Here Again by Elevation Worship. Caroline and the team just crushed it. That was one of the songs I did. And then there was two other songs by Will Reagan and United Pursuit Band. It was called Need You More and Lay It All Down. And these three songs I just kept on repeat. And it's not that I was singing in them anymore. It's not that I was worshiping them. They became my prayers because it's all I had left. The lyrics in these songs became all I had left in prayer. It wasn't just worship anymore. It was the prayer of my heart. And sometimes you and I can get to that point where we're exhausted, we're tired, and we prayed the words we know how to pray. And that's why the well of worship is so important. It's because those lyrics can become our prayer. Lyrics aren't meant to just be sung. They're meant to be cried out from your soul. So as I laid on the carpet in my living room, those songs became so much more to me than just worship. They became the last prayers that I had. And maybe you've walked in today. Maybe you're engaging with us online and you're exhausted, and you're tired. You've prayed the words you know how to. Can I encourage you? We're about to worship. Don't just sing the lyrics. Let them be a prayer of your heart. Say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I have. I give you these lyrics because it's all that I have left. I give them to you, Lord. So, Lord, won't you meet us here right now? Holy Spirit, won't you move? Won't you give us the strength that we need? Won't you search our hearts and minds and help us give everything we have in worship? Let us dig that well deep. Let us know that we can pray lyrics anytime, anywhere, because we have access to you, Jesus, if we've given our life to make you the Lord of our life, Jesus. So come. Move. Draw us in. In your name we pray. Amen.